Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Redmen TV. For some pseudo-breaking news reaction, we spoke yesterday on the channel, Mr. Chris Pajak and I, about Liverpool and their supposed move to furlough staff and take advantage of the government scheme to have the wages be paid. We thought it was only fair, then, given last night it was announced that Liverpool have performed a U-turn on this, that we give it the same treatment. So, yes, I am Paul Machin. I am here. I'm joined by Chris Pajak for this one. Chris, first and foremost, your reaction?
I was shocked, to be honest. I really didn't expect Liverpool to make a U-turn. Obviously, you know, it was Ross who's always on it, who put the link, I think, into our WhatsApp chat and stuff. And, you know, it was a really long sort of letter from Peter Moore to Liverpool fans, which I think is a nice way as well to actually break the news back. Mm-hmm. And it started off with the first sort of few paragraphs. I was a bit like, where's this going? You know, I wasn't quite, because it's a letter to Liverpool fans, I wasn't really sure when I started reading it, Paul, whether it was going to be a U-turn or not. And it started off and it was like, they were talking about it and I thought, maybe these are trying to explain why. And you know, I'm not sure that's the right move. And then obviously as you get further down the statement, you're starting to see them talk about the three different options that they've looked at, and whether that be the coronavirus job retention scheme with the 80% and the 20% added in from Liverpool, or applying to the scheme itself with a guarantee to reimburse the monies received at a later date, or thirdly, finding an alternative means to cover the furlough costs. And I'm thinking, okay, well, this still kind of sounds a little bit like they might be explaining the decision. Then all of a sudden, we believe we came to the wrong conclusion last week to announce that we intended to apply. And then you're like, whoa, they're actually doing this. And then there's a genuine, we are truly sorry for that in the midst of things, which I've seen Liverpool change their mind, and I've seen them U-turn on decisions before. I can't remember them ever apologising like that. And I might be wrong. That might be my memory not remembering it right. But I don't think they did that with the 77 ticket pounds. I don't think in the statement they came out and said, we are truly sorry for that. I think they might have come out and said, we've made a mistake. We're rectifying that.
Yeah. Well, that does feel like something that a cursory amount of research might have given us a little bit of a heads up on ahead of throwing that out there. But yeah, I mean, if we're wrong on that, please do let us know in the comments. That's apparently what they're there for. Let's just read through some of the statement then from Peter Moore. He issued an open letter to Liverpool fans that was published on the Liverpool website yesterday evening. He says, is it as a direct result of this extensive consultation on our own internal deliberations at various levels throughout the club that we've opted to find alternative means despite our eligibility to apply for the coronavirus job retention scheme. We believe we came to the wrong conclusion last week to announce that we intended to apply for the coronavirus retention scheme and furlough staff due to the suspension of the Premier League football calendar, and are truly sorry for that. Our intentions were and still are to ensure the entire workforce is given as much protection as possible from redundancy and or loss of earnings during this unprecedented period. We are therefore committed to finding alternative ways to operate while there are no football matches being played that ensures we're not applying for the government relief scheme. And then he sends a kind of a thank you to, and an acknowledgement to the hard work of all the people involved and what have you. There's a little bit more which we'll pick up in a moment, Chris, but I guess ultimately Liverpool have come to the correct moral decision on this. We did a big in-depth chat about the pros and cons of it last night, yesterday morning, I should say, which are a little bit moot now. But I think what Liverpool were weighing up ultimately, and maybe this is the slight cynical approach on this, but Liverpool Football Club presents itself with an ethos. This city presents itself with an ethos. Liverpool going down that route when they do have the ability to fund this themselves did feel a little self-serving and a little bit like spitting in the face of said ethos.
Yeah, it did, and that's why they've ended up doing a U-turn, because of the backlash that's been received off the back of that. They know that it goes against everything that they market the club on. They know that it goes against everything that the fans stand for. And they now realise that it matters. And that's a good thing. And I'm not saying we should applaud Liverpool for it. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, applaud them. I think it's good when people can come out and admit they've made a mistake and apologise for it. That's brilliant. I'd be more concerned about how they got so far away from what Liverpool is in the first place. Mm-hmm. Because, look, we spoke about it yesterday, Paul. I don't want to tread over the same steps, as it were. But, you know, Liverpool is a business, as much as we sometimes want to forget that. I think if you want to understand why they make decisions, you have to almost consider it from their point of view. And mm-hmm. their point of view is they're a business. They're there to win trophies and they're there to make money for their shareholders, like every business in the world, unfortunately. Yeah. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way, and a Liverpool way and a non-Liverpool way of doing things. And they very much got across the line there and went into the other football clubs or non-Liverpool way of doing things. And that's what pissed us off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were talking about yesterday. I'd expect this from a club like Manchester United, who are run by known to be run by unscrupulous owners. You expect it from Mike Ashley, you know what I mean? But you don't expect it from Liverpool as such. And I think this is the issue. And how you strike that balance between what Liverpool stands for and what a business requires. And you're right. You can't give Liverpool credit for this, but you can at the same time, because there's lots of football clubs who haven't reversed the decision. You know, there's four other football clubs who are going to be continuing with this. It'd be interesting to see whether others do down the line as well, and whether what kind of reaction they sort of get. But I wonder whether there's a degree, and everyone says they should know all this, and maybe they should, but I also think there's a degree to which in business, when you're trying to make as much money as possible, I think sometimes you make decisions that the average person wouldn't make. And I think I don't know, because look, if Liverpool do this and there isn't, there was always going to be this backlash, I guess you could argue, but let's just say it wasn't quite as big as all this. Or let's say it kind of went by the by. People might say that's a bit sneaky or whatever, but also people who are pure business people say it's just good business. It's just good business, and that is the crux of what Liverpool are having to do with this, because let's use a daft example of this. We sold Jordan Ibe for £15 million to Bournemouth. That is good business, but was Jordan Ibe worth £15 million? No, we've absolutely pulled Bournemouth's pants down there. But no one's asked when it comes to things like that. But when it comes to wider things, people you get my point. I'm making light of it, but these are the problems when you're doing business, but also trying to have morals at the same time.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can absolutely see that, Paul. I'm going to hand it back to you, because I've got a little
picture. There's someone on the pitch. Yeah, absolutely. Hi, kids.
We're live. Don't come over here, please, sweetheart. Yeah, no, look, here's the thing. You're absolutely right. Yes, sweetheart. Hang on a second. I didn't throw my jumper in the bin, sweetheart. You're mistaken. Quickly, Paul, start talking. Tom, mute me. Mute me quick. Oh, no. This is right, embarrassing. Well, do you want to see it?
Yeah, there we go. Hello there.
That Uncle Paul?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Go and see Mummy, please, sweetie.
Oh, good luck with that. Yeah, fantastic. We knew this was going to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. The Jordan Ibe thing's absolutely right as well, isn't it? I think when you look at it...
Where's our models there, Chris? Where's our models that say Bournemouth are a plucky young club? They don't deserve to have their pants pulled down for a player that's not worth that amount of money. I know it's different.
Not only that, but you've done it on the yard twice, because you did them with Adam Lewis as well, was it?
Brad Smith, don't foreshadow poor Adam Lewis.
I'm sorry.
He's got a bright career ahead of him. Tom Solanke was also the one you were looking for there, but
this is the thing, that it's the line that Liverpool have to tread, isn't it? Because They have to wear two masks.
Yeah.
They have to wear the socialist mask of Liverpool and its fan base, and they have to wear the big business bastard mask to be able to compete at the top end of football. And at times, those two things are gonna collide into each other, and one's gonna come out on top. Now, it seemed like to begin with that big business bastard mask was gonna come out on top over the weekend, and then somehow the socialist has maybe got him with a low blow and attacked him, and now all of a sudden he's come out on top. But it must be very difficult, and I'm not backing the club up here. I think they were wrong.
Yeah.
But it must be very difficult to toe those lines.
Absolutely. I think when it comes into the moment, I think the timing of all this, and look, inevitably the timing of it is the timing of it. There's a global pandemic at the moment, and it's happening all over the place. And as pointed out, and we put this out yesterday, Liverpool are eligible to apply for that scheme. And it's one of those things. And I said, and I got a little bit of heat in this in the comments yesterday, but I stand by it. You know, football smooths over a lot of cracks. The actual football, people running around and kicking a ball, smooths over a lot of this stuff. When that's not there, it lifts the veil back on football. And football is a very dirty business, and it's not necessarily. And our football club, as much as it is a special football club, but it's not a special business. That's the problem that it has going for it. When the football's not there, it makes you realise that it is just a business, and that's why I kind of agree with you. I'm a bit surprised that they've gone with this. I said this. I think they were only a couple of days away from this all not being an issue anymore, to be perfectly honest. But at least what they've done is they've, and it was a point out to us, I think it was in the comments yesterday, like every time Liverpool sign a player or every time Liverpool win a trophy, it's like West Ham with the stadium and everyone doing the whole we bought your stadium kind of thing, being annoyed at the London Stadium being funded by the taxpayer and all that kind of stuff. At least we're resistant to that. But there's a really interesting note, and I think this is worth pointing out that toward the end of the letter. And Peter Moore says, it is an unavoidable truth that several of the scenarios that they've worked their way through, because they've been talking about best to worst case scenarios that they've been planning for, they involve a massive downturn in revenue with correspondingly unprecedented operating losses. Having these vital financial resources so profoundly impacted would obviously negatively affect our ability to operate as we previously have. And I think that's the note on this, is that I think Liverpool are backing down because I think they understand the value of brand Liverpool. And that's my cynic talking. And the other side of it is maybe they understand the values of the football club. But one of the points I was clicked to point out, and I think this is not a problem for now, but I've been doing this channel for 10 years now. I've followed the pool all my life, but like forensically for a decade, you see the same stories repeated over and over again. And there is a cycle of the way fans react to stuff, and not every fan, not necessarily you watching at home, not necessarily you, Chris, or me, but there are people who, in a year's time or whatever, when Liverpool are in a position where they're not as financially strong, or if Liverpool were to slip behind in a race alongside a Man City or a Man United or whatever again, there'll be people who are blaming the club for not investing money. And there's a reality where right now it's only a small amount of money, and it may never have the negative impact that we'll ever notice. But what Peter Moore is pointing out there, and I think he is also right to do, is that this is a quandary. This isn't a simple decision that Liverpool have made. Liverpool have opted almost to gamble their future to maintain their ethos. And that's where it's commendable again, because I think the brand and the ethos is very important, but it's something that we all need to be aware of, is that, you know, ultimately Liverpool is a business, and we can't have a successful Liverpool on the pitch if Liverpool aren't a relatively ruthless business underneath.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, it's not written in Peter Moore's letter, so I'm just making this shit up off the top of my head now, and it's not off the top of my head. I thought about it before we went live, but there is a part of me that wonders, is this means more worth 700 grand a month?
That's, you know what, Chris, 100, I had this. The value of Liverpool's ethos and branding versus what they'll lose in terms of the money through the coronavirus retention scheme. And we have these conversations a lot.
It's a simple thing. If they lose that, and or how much have they made from that in the last few months? You know, absolutely. And that's the cynic in me that goes, I think they'd rather that than the 700 grand a month or whatever it is. Like,
I 100% agree on that. And I think, and maybe it is just pure cynicism, but I think, again, look, we need to remember this, as much as like we've got those great moments and those heroes and those emotions and all that, you know, these are businesses, you know, and business at any level boils down to spreadsheets, and it boils down to graphs, and it boils down to, you know, and then it boils down to calculated risks in and around that kind of stuff. And major, major, major corporations don't make stupid, you know, uncalculated risks in this. And you're right, I reckon there's probably someone's worked it out there and gone, what is this means more? What is all of this? What does that, what value to the club does that add? And gone, what's the tipping point here? And I think that's possibly where the decision has been made. But if you read between the lines on the letter, I do wonder whether Liverpool have maybe gambled a little bit more on this to keep the fan base on side for the value of the PR, for the value of the brand. That it might be a little bit dicey. But look, I don't want to be the portent of doom or whatever, because ultimately, I'm a Liverpool fan. I have my ethos and all that, And maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm alone in this. I like Liverpool winning. I think you have this across football. I think there's a lot of models in football that don't necessarily pan out. You know, we vilify players for diving, but then when you own a player who's a rabid diver, but he scores loads of goals for your club, you don't give a shit about things like that. You know, we want fair play, but you know, if one of your players handballs it and you win and you end up winning a trophy or whatever, you know, you don't really remember that. You don't. Grab your pitchforks and start protesting, having the goals chalked out kind of stuff. I think our morals are a bit loose when it comes to football. And I think, you know, ultimately for me, I want Liverpool to be successful. I think at this time, I agree. I think they've done the right moral thing. I think it was poorly timed. It was poorly thought through. But I think ultimately what we all want, because this will pass, the pandemic will eventually go away, football will resume, and we all want Liverpool to be the best Liverpool they can possibly be. And my only hope in all of this is that our morals haven't, you know, don't lead us down the line where Liverpool aren't able to be in that bracket anymore, because I don't know what price can you put on your morals ultimately if the thing that you've been clamouring for all these years goes away all of a sudden. That's the tough situation that we're going to be in, I think.
Yeah, I do, and I don't know how much this, in the grand scheme of things, would have actually affected Liverpool, but then I don't see the graphs and the figures and everything else, you know. It's very easy to be sucked into this £42 million pre-tax profit and think, well, there's 42 months, but it doesn't quite work like that, does it? No. You know, if they're forced, then, you know, it's a threat that's looming, although I don't think it will happen, to pay back television revenues, or, you know, they're not getting £2 million a week in and all this type of stuff, then the business itself isn't.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A viable business with nothing coming in. Yeah. But loads and loads and loads and loads of expenditure, and you could quite easily see them burning through tons and tons of money. So if they're using that to sort of stem the tide, or they were planning on using that to stem the tide, I can understand why they thought about it. I don't agree with it. I didn't agree with it prior to it, but I am just glad that they've U-turned, because for me, there is a cost, and because I don't, it's not a monetary cost to me. Mm-hmm. It's a proportion that, you know, there's something where I just don't love the club as much as I did because they made that decision. Yeah. And I don't know whether that will cost them in the next 6 months, but it might cost them in the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think it is such a strange situation. I think ultimately, I don't think Liverpool deserve full credit because they made the mistake in the first place. But I also think the problem, you know, we forget this in the modern culture because things live on forever in some way, shape, or form, and they're often used as banter, fuel, or ammunition if you don't like a certain thing. Is that there is a degree of credit for making the change. It's like apologising. If you apologise for something, the idea is you're supposed to be absolved of the wrongdoing for that. I know we haven't all gone to church, don't go to church as much as we did as kids maybe or whatever, but that's the point of apologies. When someone makes that apology, you're supposed to be able to forgive them for it. I think inevitably we've got the likes of Spirit of Shankly who are on the watchtower, which I think we should all be very, very grateful for, because it's fan groups like that who are helping to keep this club as honest as they possibly can, and they definitely deserve commending in this situation. So look, yeah, I think ultimately it's a positive thing that Liverpool have done this. I don't think they deserve to be, you know, there's no open top bus for not choosing to take government money, I think what's going to be interesting in the coming days and weeks, Chris, is what happens. What do other football clubs do? You know, what do other businesses do in this regard? You know, my only caveat on this is that I think Liverpool are doing the morally right thing in a very difficult situation because it's a pandemic. If this was just a global crash, Liverpool would just be laying staff off.
What the big thing for me before we get into the comments and stuff, Paul, is what the hell's the third thing mean? What the third option is just, and the fact that they're so vague on it, it's like they've just made that up. Right, we're going to look into other ways. Good one. We're going to start genuinely, I've seen businesses react so quickly to things. It could be anything, you know. You've seen businesses all of a sudden do delivery, you know, just to try and get somebody through the door. Could Liverpool move in a direction like that? You just don't know, but they're going to try something mad. Or is it a case of speaking to sponsors or getting a reduction on, let's say, Liverpool's official car partner in America? But we'll give you a reduced rate if you pay us the money now. And we'll give you half the price of what it would be normally or something like that. I mean, what could there possibly be?
I think it all alludes to the player contracts, if I'm honest. I think this is a little bit of that. And you know, I think it strengthens Liverpool's position in their case with the players, because as we said this before, it's like 90% of the people who were being furloughed were like club store staff. But I think that was the vast majority of people who just work in the shops, you know, because they've got how many of those all over the globe and what have you. But it's, you know, these people are doing nothing. The footballers, the pressure's going to turn on them, because it's all well and good. The lads say Liverpool have gone down the route that any business is allowed to go down. Morally, they've had to backtrack. Well, it does that amp the pressure up on you on Liverpool's top earners to say, come on, lads, you know, we would have happily gone through with this. We've taken the business decision here. There's been a massive backlash. We now can't do that. What's the next stage? So I wonder whether that might be the next step.
Yeah, and if you read, I forget the fella's name, it's Taylor of the PFA, isn't he? Is it the chairman? We saw him at one award show or something, didn't he? Like, he likes to talk more than you, I think, doesn't he?
Oh, my God.
Like, he was mad, like, you know what I mean? And he was talking about it, and he was saying that, like, one of the things that the players have an issue with potentially is that, why are they giving it to these multi-millionaire owners? Why do they give their money back to their multi-millionaire owners when, like, for example, they could just give it to charity out of their wages? And a lot of these football players are actually doing that. There's issues there, isn't there?
I think that's the reply to the Matt Hancock stuff. Is it Matt Hancock? That's the reaction to his bollocks, isn't it? Rather than the reaction to how do you keep your clubs running, kind of thing. Because effectively, you know, in that instance, yeah, you're creating this notion that everyone's all in it together. I don't know whether I agree with that or not, but yeah, I think the idea that the football players should be funding the NHS directly is an absolute nonsense. This is the, just to get it slightly political on this for a moment, this is the danger with all this stuff. This is the danger with, you know, just people sorting out the problems themselves, people paying for this stuff themselves. The government want you to do that because it means they don't have to. And them trying to convince the players to do it detracts from the fact that, you know, there's billions of unpaid taxes from loads of mega corporations they're too scared to go after. So they're going to go because the public don't know them and the public don't have their individual Twitter accounts. So they can't harangue them into making things happen. So, yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens with that in the coming days and weeks, of course. So let's get to some of the comments. Niz247 says, glad the club saw sense and went back to the values it is built on. Dylan writes, proud that my club listens to their fans. RK Productions, it's a business and it was eligible to apply. End of. Business rarely cares about feelings. John Prail, maybe correct moral decision, but let's hope it doesn't adversely affect future finances, transfers, staff retention, etc. in the long term. That's the one thing, isn't it, Chris, is that, you know, if Liverpool, the pandemic will end, if football bounces back to exactly where it was, then, you know, this Liverpool won't skip a beat really in this. But, you know, that this is the thing. It's like all of this will have to be paid for by someone down the line, and that's the worry. That is one lingering worry that we've not discussed, is that if business only bounces back to a 70% thing, you'll find a lot of companies, and not just Liverpool, once this is over the crisis stage, just and they can morally get away with it, you might see staff reductions in various
things. You might do. The best businesses are the ones that will take this as an opportunity coming out the back of it to pounce on that, though. You know, and they'll be the ones who are the best funded businesses, you know, and I'm damn sure that the likes of Real Madrid, if they come out of it well, or Manchester City, will be pouring extra money in to take advantage of any sort of weakness in their competitors or that their competitors show. I mean, like, I don't know whether these count, but it's something that I was thinking about then, is like, you know, I did a show with Si Hughes last week, and we employ, I think it's 34 scouts to look at the age group between 6 and 10 years old, right? Yeah. Like, are they classed as them? I mean, do we then go back to having 34 scouts at that age group? I mean, and what does that mean for the 10, 15 years down the line when players are making it into the first team? I mean, I just don't know. I don't know whether they're classed as non-playing staff.
No, it's interesting.
Or what, like? But yeah, that's one age group in the Northwest, I think. Yeah. Is 34 scouts looking at that age group?
Well, Paul Tompkins put it really well about, again, in his article. Highly recommend the Tompkins Times, by the way, particularly right now, because Paul is the best Liverpool writer on the planet by an absolute mile. But he was saying, you know, football is just a sham. It's leveraged against, you know, you get the money in and it's spent. Yeah, exactly. It's spent. You know, you get the TV deals in and the money, if they spend the money doesn't sit in the bank account. It's gone. It goes on player contracts. And we don't think of that, but, you know, players' contracts are cast iron, and we don't think the cast iron, because players get to, you know, pull strings and get sacked off and get sold and all this kind of stuff. Like, but if a player doesn't want to go anywhere, he can sit. Look at Lazar Markovic is a good example of this. You can sit on your contract and forever and ever, and the club is legally obliged to pay you that money, and that's not money that you getting in necessarily on a season by season basis. It's pre-spent. You get the new TV deal in, 5-year TV deal comes in, and you know you're going to be getting this money for 5 years. So you sign a player in that summer, and you sign into a 5-year contract, and then that money is then spread out over that. It's football's a sham, and it's a very, very precariously run thing. And it was pointed out by Paul. Look at some people obviously won't be old enough to remember this, but ITV Digital used to be the other Premier League rights holder. And they used to have the Football League stuff as well in the early noughties. They went bust. That was another cable service like BT Sport is now. And that went bust. Imagine if BT Sport just went bust. Like, the Champions League money would be slashed. Whatever other coverage they have, Premier League, all of that stuff would start to fall down again.
And Sky would have no competitors, so wouldn't pay huge amounts of money anyway.
Exactly. So all the things would drop, and clubs would be in a massive hole. And that's not just fearmonger, and that's not conspiracy theories. We've seen it happen. It's happened before. This is just calling on history to tell us what will happen in these situations. So yeah, it is a very precariously balanced thing. A question here then, Chris, from Liquid. There's a reference for you. If this situation goes on for 6 months, would you be okay with Liverpool using the scheme?
And honestly, I'd need to know what the finances of Liverpool look like. If they need to use the scheme, yes, I'd be kind of okay with that. If they don't need to use the scheme, no matter how long it goes on for, I would not be okay with that.
It's mad, isn't it? It's one of those things. If someone turned to us, let's say Liverpool hadn't done this and turned this, because again, I'm maybe this wouldn't be, maybe I'm just speculating, I'm being a bit harsh, but if Liverpool hadn't done this and then 6 months down the line, there's still no football back and Liverpool are struggling now and all of a sudden they've been paying, you know, staff wages on a load of areas of the business that no longer exist for all this point of time with no option. It's just sinking money into a black hole and it's really struggling. And then Liverpool went, we need to use this. There would undoubtedly be a group of people who've gone, you fucking idiots. Why didn't you do this 6 months ago? It's nobody, you know what I mean? Because there's always that. That's just the way, that's how mad and stupid we are as fans. So no, I mean, look, ultimately, I'll be perfectly honest, from a pure business perspective, I didn't really have a problem with Liverpool using the scheme. I have it because my problem comes is that you can't market Liverpool as a socialist club. You can't sell Liverpool in that way if you're going to use it. So that's fine. That, you know, in that regard, that's where my problem comes from. You got another visitor?
Yeah.
I'll keep talking. Nick Brown says it was okay with them doing it, but the U-turn shows they never needed to. It makes it far worse for me. See, that's the problem. I think the statement in what Peter Moore's put out there is, I think it tells us that they probably do need to. It's not dire. There's loads of businesses for whom this is absolutely critical. But I think, you know, ultimately it's a business that's losing money. Any business that's losing money because of the pandemic I don't know. It boils down to what's the threshold? How much money does a business need to have for it to not, for it to be morally incorrect, for it to take that decision?
It's a very difficult, as people who own businesses, Paul, the two of us, we've got a business together and stuff like that. And you'd obviously think about what would I do in that situation? And, you know, it's different sums of money, so I think it does make a massive difference. But like, if we were starting to lose money on a monthly basis, and you're looking at it, you know, fucking hell, you've got about 3 months in us here. We better take the grants now to save us in 3 months' time.
Yeah.
Like, but the difference is, I just don't believe that Liverpool are in that situation where it's that close.
Well, it's, you know what, it's a bit like, Chris, it was in Melissa Reddy's article, I think it was Andy Grant to put the tweet out about, like, people who can afford to pay for food having to use a food bank. It's a bit like the difference is when you think you're really poor, but the difference is that, like, I'll give you an example. When I was at uni, I had no money, like zero money. And I remember putting a fiver on on my gas to put the heating on so I could have the heating on, because I was sat in coat and gloves and all this kind of stuff, like, and I'm sleeping in coats and stuff because I couldn't afford the heating. But let's be honest, at the end of the day, like, I could have gone to a family member, or I could have turned to to various friends or whatever. There's varying degrees to this thing, and that's the difference. There are businesses who have no recourse. That, you know, Liverpool ultimately can, if the worst came to the worst, could probably turn around to John Henry and say, do us a favour. You know, and eventually those pots of money run dry, but that's an issue for when those pots of money run dry, I guess, is the issue on this.
Those ask questions of financial fair play, doesn't it? And whether you're allowed to put money into the football clubs in these types of times.
Exactly. And maybe that might be a slight part. I don't know. Let's be careful on how we say this, because I don't know that that is the case. But yeah, you're right. I wonder if the owners had to pump money in, you're right, does that damage the books in some way, shape or form? I guess we won't know.
It'd be pretty handy if you're like City and you know how to get around that at the moment, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Funny how everyone's forgotten. Liverpool applied for eligible government-backed schemes to help them during situations, to help pay staff in the City. Man City's flagrant cheating by throwing money at things. All of a sudden, Man City are going to come across looking like heroes because they've not done that. joke. Anyway, Michael Bennett, I think there's a possibility we hear, based on the statement, that matchday staff will be made redundant, whereas they would have been paid under furlough, which would be terrible for those involved. I think that would be the worst thing
that Liverpool could possibly do now. That would be the absolute worst thing. And I don't think there's... I was wrong yesterday when I said I don't think they'd do a U-turn. I would be old school flabbergasted if they did that.
But again, this is the thing, is that it'll come down to those... It'll come down to decisions like that at some point. And I don't think, having made a moral decision in this regard, I don't think Liverpool will do it, but it's an option that's open to them. I don't think they will, but then again, as you say, I don't think either of us thought we were necessarily going to U-turn on this decision. So who knows? Again, sometimes it is one of those things of, I think you'd often find this. And I think you can tell, by the way, just to kind of wrap up on this, you can tell from the, you know, sometimes we're trapped in our bubbles. And I think you can tell by the insight and the reactions from a lot of very educated, well-balanced and very highly trained people, journalists and what have you, people that I have a great deal of respect for, and their reactions to these stuff. You can often gauge that what is the morally correct thing, often by whose side you're on in a particular battle. So I think that, you know, you can see that this is probably the right call. But I do wonder, sometimes down the line, we do rally behind causes, particularly on social media, quite quickly, without necessarily thinking what the long-term ramifications are, and without knowing all the factors pertained within. So there could be some knock-on effects that we're not happy with, that, you know, that we've effectively voted for here. But I still have enough trust that I think Liverpool will do the right thing. I just, you know, I hope that it's one that allows Liverpool to have their morals, to be able to keep staff safe during this period and still be a competitive football team when this all comes back. Whether that's us having our cake and eat it, I guess we'll find out in the coming months.
Yeah, I think you're right. Really, everyone just needs something to take the mind off it. So we've got a quiz on Friday night at 7:30, though. So yes, you need to come and join us for that one.
Yeah, absolutely. There on the main, on this channel, the Red Men TV YouTube channel, we're going to be hosting a live pub quiz 7:30 on Friday night. There'll be more details to follow. Make sure you get involved. Follow at the Red Men TV for all the latest updates, for guest announcements, and for info on how you can play along at home as well. It's going to be a belter. We're going to make sure everyone's got something to keep them distracted by robbing an idea that everyone else has been doing for the last 3 weeks. But it's us doing it, which means it's going to be probably the best, but also the most likely to go catastrophically, hilariously wrong. Entertainment gold, no matter which way you cut it. And lastly as well, if you've enjoyed these videos and you like the deeper dive stuff, the more in-depth, the bigger discussions and what have you, we've got the podcast that's going out for free this evening on this channel and on podcast and apps, but also we have the redmentv.com where we do some longer form shows. Chris sat down with Jose Enrique, that went out yesterday, really, really good stuff. I've got an interview with the Liverpool legend, European Cup winner, he won this, I mean, right here, Mr. Jimmy Traore.
Everyone was dead like, oh, he's got Gerrard.
Jimmy Traore, cannot wait for that, coming live via satellite link up from Seattle. So yeah, they'll be on the redmentv.com. Please do go and sign up. It is £5.
Link up. How did you organise that one?
Yeah, I'm going to put my finger in my ear and then talk to them on Skype. anyway, thanks very much for watching, for liking, for subscribing. And we shall see you all very, very soon. Ta-ra.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.